From Washington, this is VOA News. Islamic State extremists have executed more than 300 members of an Iraqi tribe, and a boat sinks off the Turkish coast in 24 dead. I'm Frances Alonzo reporting from Washington. Iraq says Islamic State extremists have executed more than 300 members of an Iraqi tribe in Anbar province, including women and children. Additionally, Iraqi human rights officials speaking Sunday said dozens of the Al-Bunimer tribe have been kidnapped after battling IS fighters for weeks before running out of ammunition. Western News reports quote a senior tribal leader as saying he had repeatedly asked the Baghdad government for more men and weapons, but no action was taken. Burkina Faso's army says it will install a unity government to oversee a political transition spawned by the ouster of longtime President Blaise Compaoré. A brief military statement late Sunday said all of the components of the transitional body would be adopted by a broad consensus. It did not provide details. Lieutenant Colonel Yakuba Isaac Zida has been named to head the transition. Earlier Sunday, soldiers from the Presidential Guard fired shots into the air to clear protesters who had gathered outside the national TV headquarters after an opposition party had arrived there with a group of supporters. A boat believed to be carrying illegal migrants have sunk off the coast of Turkey, leaving at least 24 people dead. Turkey's Coast Guard said crews rescued seven people after the boat went down today in the Black Sea just north of the Bosphorus Strait. Rescuers were continuing to search the area with Coast Guard boats and a helicopter. It's not immediately clear what caused the boat to go down or how many people were on board. VOA News. Pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine have voted in controversial elections that Kiev and the West say they will not recognize. The separatists, who control parts of eastern Ukraine's Luhansk and Donetsk region, held elections Sunday for leadership and legislative bodies in the areas they control. Quoting election officials of the so-called Donetsk People's Republic, or the DNR, Russian news agencies reported that with more than half of the ballots cast counted, Alexander Zakharchenko was in the lead to become the DNR leader with more than 70% of the vote. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations says there are positive signs emerging in the three hardest-hit West African countries that the Ebola epidemic is finally being contained. VOA's Victor Beatty reports that Samantha Power credits international aid efforts.
The U.S. diplomat appearing Sunday on U.S. television says thanks to the presence of officials from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and elements of the U.S. military, the numbers of safe burials have skyrocketed in Liberia's capital, Monrovia, to 90%. She says the rate of safe burials within 24 hours is now close to 100% in Sierra Leone. The CDC has said up to 70% of new Ebola infections occurred during the burial of people killed by Ebola because their body fluids still have the virus. Power, just back from a visit to Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea, says more people are getting educated about the dangers of Ebola and social mobilization is moving into the rural areas of all three countries. Victor Beatty, VOA News, Washington.
Funeral arrangements are underway today, a day after a bomb attack in the Lahore region of Pakistan near the Wagah border crossing with India killed at least 55 people and wounded more than 100. Sunday's attack took place where troops from Pakistan and India simultaneously lower their nation's flags every evening. The ceremony starts just before sunset, and hundreds of people, including foreign tourists, normally gather on both sides to witness it. At least two Pakistan Taliban factions have claimed responsibility for the attack. Afghan officials say the deputy governor of southern Kandahar province has been shot dead at a university where he was attending a class. Authorities say Abdul Kadim Patyal was killed Sunday after gunmen opened fire on him through the window of a classroom at Kandahar University. There's been no claim of responsibility for the attack. Romania's presidential election is going to a runoff after no candidate earned a majority in Sunday's first round of balloting. Prime Minister Victor Ponta led with about 40% of the vote, and his main challenger got 30%. I'm Frances Alonzo.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Coming up on The Voice of America, English teaching and learning English. We begin with our English teaching programs, New Dynamic English and Functioning in Business. At half past the hour Universal Time, you'll hear the Learning English programs As It Is, the Technology Report, and This Is America. Thank you for listening to VOA.
Hi, I'm Max.
Hello, my name is Kathy.
Welcome to New Dynamic English.
New Dynamic English is a basic English language course and an introduction to American people and culture. Today's unit is How Long Does It Take?
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Just great.
Last week, we spoke with Bob and Sandra Harris. This week, we're going to talk with their two children, John and Colette. Today's guest is their son, John Harris.
I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Listen and repeat.
Son. John is Bob and Sandra's son. Daughter. Colette is Bob and Sandra's daughter. Sister. Colette is John's sister. Brother. John is Colette's brother.
Interview.
Now it's time for today's interview. Our guest today is John Harris. Hi, John.
Hello, Kathy. It's nice to be here.
You're interested in gymnastics, aren't you?
Yeah, I love gymnastics.
Do you practice a lot?
Yeah, I practice every day, before and after school.
Really? That's a lot.
Yeah, but I enjoy it.
So what's your daily schedule?
Well, I get up early every morning at 6:15. I take a shower, then I eat breakfast. After breakfast, I go to school. I leave the house around 7:30. I practice gymnastics in the gym at school.
What time do you get to school?
I get to school around 7:45.
So it only takes 15 minutes?
That's right. It takes me about 15 minutes to get to school.
What do you do when you get to school?
I practice gymnastics in the gym. I practice from 8 o'clock to 8:30.
What time does school start?
School starts at 8:45.
So your mornings are very busy.
Yes, they are.
Thanks, John. Our guest today is John Harris. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Listen and repeat.
He gets up at 6:15. He gets up at 6:15. He leaves the house at 7:30. He leaves the house at 7:30. He gets to school at 7:45. He gets to school at 7:45. School starts at 8:45. School starts at 8:45.
Interview.
Our guest today is John Harris. He's a high school student. Okay, now let's talk about your afternoon schedule. What do you do after school?
Well, my classes finish at 3 o'clock. Then I practice gymnastics until 5 o'clock.
So you practice for about 2 hours?
That's right. Then I go home. I usually get home before 6 o'clock.
When do you do your homework?
After dinner. I do my homework after dinner until around 10 o'clock or 10:30. Then I go to bed. Usually between 10:30 and 11 o'clock.
You work very hard. Our guest today is John Harris. We'll talk more after our break. This is New Dynamic English.
Before or after? Listen and answer. Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
He practices gymnastics from 8 to 8:30 in the morning. School starts at 8:45. Does he practice gymnastics before school? Yes, he does. He practices gymnastics before school. John eats dinner, then he does his homework. Does he do his homework before dinner? No, he doesn't. He does his homework after dinner. In the morning, John takes a shower, then he eats breakfast. Does he take a shower before breakfast? Yes, he does. He takes a shower before breakfast.
Email.
It's time to check our email. We have an email from Michael in Montana. His question is, how do you get to school?
I drive to school on my motorbike.
How long does it take you to get to school?
It takes me about 15 minutes.
How does your sister get to school?
She takes the bus.
How long does it take her? How long does it take her to get to school?
It takes her 20 minutes to get to school.
Thank you, John.
How long does it take? Listen and answer. Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
John leaves the house at 7:30. He gets to school at 7:45. How long does it take him to get to school? It takes him 15 minutes. It takes him 15 minutes to get to school. Colette leaves the house at 8 o'clock. She gets to school at 8:20. How long does it take her to get to school? It takes her 20 minutes. It takes her 20 minutes to get to school.
Daily Dialogue. A Dinner Reservation. Part 1. Listen to the conversation.
Good evening, Starlight Cafe.
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for this evening.
For how many people?
4 people.
And at what time?
8 o'clock.
Listen and repeat.
Good evening, Starlight Cafe.
Yes, I'd like to make a reservation for this evening.
For how many people?
4 people.
And at what time?
8 o'clock.
Question of the week.
It's time to answer last week's question. The question was, when do they do it? Are you ready to play, Kathy?
Let's go.
Okay, the first question is, when do most Americans eat dinner? Do they eat at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or at 6 o'clock in the evening?
Well, let's see. Most Americans eat dinner in the evening after work and school is over. So, 6 o'clock in the evening.
That's right. Americans eat dinner in the evening. Question 2. When do most Americans work? Do they work Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday?
Well, some Americans work on the weekends, on Saturday or Sunday, but most Americans work Monday through Friday. So my answer is Monday through Friday.
Right. Now the last question. When do most Americans watch television? Do they watch television in the morning or in the evening?
Okay, I know that some Americans watch television in the morning, but most Americans watch in the evening.
Yes, that's right. Thanks for playing.
You're welcome, Max.
A question for you.
Now, here's a question for you.
Listen for the bell, then say your answer.
How do you get to school or work? Okay.
Well, our time is up. So until next time, this is Kathy.
And this is Max.
Good luck in your English studies.
Goodbye.
For additional study materials, visit the DINED International website at dined.com. That's DYNED.com.
And that's it. We're off the air.
Well, what a weekend. Did you see the newspaper?
Yes, I did. The two industrial spies were on the front page. When I told my friend Anne about it, she couldn't believe it.
She's your friend. She's moving to San Diego, right?
Yes, that's her.
How was your dinner?
At the vegetarian restaurant? The Garden? Oh, it was delicious.
What did you have?
I had a vegetarian lasagna, and Anne had some fish.
How was it?
Well, everything was delicious. The desserts were wonderful, too.
Sounds great. Maybe my wife and I will try it sometime. But I don't think we could take our son. There's nothing for him to eat there.
Oh, I saw some good-looking pizzas. Big pizzas with lots of cheese.
Pizza, huh? He loves pizza.
Elizabeth, I want to know all about you and Boris and the industrial spies.
Hi, folks. Well, I can't tell you much. Really, it's all over. Boris is fine. The industrial spies are in jail. Thank goodness. So, it's on with the show.
Now, English teaching continues on VOA.
All right. Quiet, please, everyone. Ready for functioning in business. Cue music.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture. Today's unit is Confirming Plans, Part 4. This program focuses on offering an opinion. Interview.
On today's program, I'll be talking with Shirley Graham. She is calling from her office at Advanced Technologies in San Jose, California. How are you, Ms. Graham?
Fine, thanks.
Today, we are going to listen to your meeting with Mr. Epstein on Tuesday, June 11th last year. Mr. Epstein had met with Mr. Blake earlier that day, and they had discussed your plans to build a new factory.
Yes, that's right. And I wanted to be sure that Mr. Blake was aware of my concerns about the October deadline and after-sales service.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Okay.
Dialogue. Mr. Epstein is meeting with Ms. Graham in her office.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay, as long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October. Because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley, but again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Listen and repeat.
Have you discussed the project with him? Did you tell him about my main concerns? Do you mean the October deadline? I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Interview.
Ms. Graham, let's talk about your conversation with Mr. Epstein. Your main concerns were with the October deadline and after-sales service.
Yes, that's right. I wanted to be sure that the robots could be delivered and installed on time.
By October?
Yes. The factory had to begin operation in October. I also was concerned about after-sales service. International Robotics is a Chinese company. I wasn't sure that they would be able to provide adequate maintenance and repair service.
Mr. Epstein seemed pleased with Mr. Blake's responses to these questions.
Yes, Mr. Epstein was convinced that we should buy Mr. Blake's robots. I wasn't so sure.
I see. Well, thank you very much for being on our show.
It's been my pleasure.
Let's take a short break.
Questions. Listen to the question.
Has Mr. Epstein already met with Mr. Blake?
Now, listen to the dialogue.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
Has Mr. Epstein already met with Mr. Blake? Yes, they met earlier that afternoon.
Listen to the question.
Did Mr. Epstein discuss the October deadline and after-sales service with Mr. Blake?
Now, listen to the dialogue.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility.
Did Mr. Epstein discuss the October deadline and after-sales service with Mr. Blake? Yes, he did. He discussed these issues with Mr. Blake.
Culture tips.
Welcome once again to Culture Tips. We're here with our business language expert, Gary Engleton. Gary, we have an email question about the structure of American companies. The question is, how are American companies organized?
Well, most traditional American companies have a clear organizational structure. It's clear who does what. People can change jobs, but the company structure does not change. For example, a salesperson can become a sales manager.
Or the manager of a department can become a vice president.
Yes, that's right. A worker can be promoted to a better job within the organization. The organization doesn't change.
I see.
Newer companies sometimes have a more flexible structure, especially in the high-tech world. These companies may be organized into project teams. These teams may be temporary.
Temporary?
Yes, they may work together only for a short time. Then the workers may be moved to other teams for different projects.
And what if there is no new project?
In many companies, these workers may be laid off. The president or vice presidents may not change, but the managers and workers will change jobs much more than in the past.
Why does a company adopt a flexible structure?
The world of business is changing very quickly. A flexible structure helps a company move quickly.
That makes sense. Thank you again, Gary, for your interesting information.
I'm always glad to help.
True or false? Listen, is this statement true or false?
Newer companies may have a flexible structure. True. Newer companies, especially high-tech companies, often have a more flexible structure than traditional companies. When a project ends, there will always be a new project for the workers. False. When a project ends, some workers may be laid off. In newer companies, workers often move from one team to another. True. This is part of the flexible structure.
Business dialogue. Offering an opinion.
Let's listen to today's business dialogue. The president and vice president of United Motor Corporation are discussing next year's budget.
I really think that we need to spend more money on research. We need more computer technology to keep up with the competition.
That's a good point. But in my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down. It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
But I think that we need to move into the high-end market. And that means selling more cars to rich people in the U.S. and overseas.
Perhaps we should talk to our director of marketing.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Focus on functions. Offering an opinion.
Now let's focus on offering an opinion. Here are some useful expressions to offer an opinion.
Listen carefully.
I think that's a wonderful idea. I really think that we need to spend more money on research. In my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down. It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
Gary's tips.
Now it's time for Gary's tips with Gary Engleton.
Hello, Elizabeth. Today I'll be talking about how to offer an opinion. When you give an opinion, it is a good idea to use an expression like "I think" or "in my opinion." In this way, you show that you know you are offering an opinion, not stating a fact. In the business dialogue we heard earlier, the company president and vice president have different ideas about the importance of new technology. The president thinks that more money should be spent on research, but the vice president thinks it is more important to keep costs down. They use the expressions "I really think" and "in my opinion" when they give their opinions.
I really think that we need to spend more money on research. We need more computer technology to keep up with the competition.
That's a good point, but in my opinion, we have to focus on keeping costs down.
Both executives try to soften the difference of opinion and keep the conversation going. The vice president also uses the expression, "it seems to me," to offer his opinion.
It seems to me that computer technology greatly increases the price of a car.
Using the expression, "it seems to me," is a good way to offer an opinion. American culture values the free expression of ideas. When personal opinions are presented as opinions and not as facts, people are more comfortable offering different opinions. This free discussion can also lead to new ideas, which are good for business. Thanks for joining us today for Gary's Tips. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
For additional study materials, visit the DyNed International website at dyned.com. That's DYNED.com.
Coming up next on The Voice of America: the Learning English Programs as It Is, the Technology Report, and This is America. Thank you for listening to VOA.